welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Amanda Cruz and her son, Luca, as our guests. Hello.
Hi. Hi. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here.
We met Amanda and when she wanted to audition for Diana's play. And she is in Diana's play. And as we got to know her better, we discovered that she has a trans son named Luca. And we were very excited to meet Luca, and we're meeting Luca for the very first time just right now. And
we're excited to have the opportunity to talk with both. Luca and Amanda, but Luca's on his way to college in about a month, so I'm glad that we're able to catch you before you got on the plane or train or whatever.
Mama taxi.
Yes, right? And so we found out that Luca is an LGBTQ plus activist. He's an artist and a great cook and much, much more. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Maralia.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
This is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of September 2nd, 2018. A woman in Illinois who allegedly faced severe harassment and violence in her home because she is a lesbian won a landmark court victory this last week. Marsha Wetzel sued the retirement home she'd been living in for 15 months, the Glen St. Andrew Living Community, for failing to do anything about the harassment. The trial court dismissed her claim, saying that a landlord can't be held responsible for other residents' behavior, only their intentional discrimination. But the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit overturned that ruling, saying that the Fair Housing Act bars landlords from purposefully failing to protect a tenant from harassment, discrimination, and violence. The case will now go back to the trial court. The lower court didn't rule on the fact that Marsha is alleging anti-gay discrimination, while the Fair Housing Act does not mention sexual orientation. But the court cited a decision from last year that sex discrimination can include sexual orientation discrimination because Marsha was harassed because she's a woman, not a man, who loved another woman. Marsha lived for 30 years with her partner Judy Kahn, and they raised a son together. They never married since marriage equality was only recognized in Illinois in 2013, the same month that Judy died. When Judy died, her family took possession of the home they shared, shunned Marsha, and kicked her out. A social worker found her a room at the retirement home. Marsha said that she talked about Judy and their son with the staff before she moved in to be sure there would be no problems. The harassment started after she began living there in 2015. According to her complaint, the harassment included verbal and physical incidents, including the use of homophobic slurs. The administration labeled Marsha a troublemaker and a liar and said that they wouldn't believe anything she told them. Another resident told her, quote, "You look like a man, and homosexuals will burn in hell." She spit on Marsha. Again, the administration did nothing. And here in the Bay Area, the Bay Area Reporter says that federal health officials are warning that the country is sliding backward in its fight to stop the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. National rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis all increased in 2017, and concern continues to grow that gonorrhea will become resistant to the long-time drug used to treat that infection here in the U.S. The CDC also reported concerns with the increase in diagnosis among women and the speed at which they have increased. Such cases have gone up 3 years in a row, from 197,000 to over 232,000. Primary and secondary syphilis diagnoses increased 76%, and chlamydia remained the most common condition reported to federal health officials, with more than 1.7 million cases diagnosed in 2017. Overall, the numbers surpassed the previous record set in 2016 by more than 200,000 cases and marked the fourth consecutive year of sharp increases in sexually transmitted diseases. Sonoma County health officials have been sounding a similar alarm now for several months, as cases of syphilis and chlamydia, particularly in the county's homeless population, are skyrocketing. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Maralia.
But I don't know what to do.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan. And in studio, we have Amanda Cruz and her son, Luca. Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we want to get started. And I think we're going to get started with you, Luca. Yeah? So, Luca, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm an FTM trans man. I'm also gay, and I've just, as you said, recently graduated from high school, finally. It felt like forever.
What school did you go to?
I went to Santa Rosa High School, which was really great. I was actually in the ArtQuest program, which was a huge, huge amount of fun. So, I mean, I had a great time there. I'm just also equally happy to leave.
And I'm curious, why is that?
I just feel like high school in general is always a very hectic, kind of crazy place filled with a lot of crazy teenagers, which I feel like college probably will be as well, but some part of it just feels a little more adult, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How was your experience at Santa Rosa High School being trans?
It was actually... I mean, there were ups and downs, but it was actually a lot better than I thought. I was particularly worried when I first came out that it was going to be really weird and uncomfortable. And actually, I was really heavily supported by almost all my friends and classmates and teachers and most people that I let know, like, what my pronouns were and what they could do to help kind of respect me were extremely open to it. I think the only hiccups I kind of had were... obviously, a few less tolerant people and a few policies that relied on, you know, you using your birth name because it has to be, like, the legal name on certain documents and the legal gender for certain medical things before I changed it legally. So that was something I totally understood. It just still was a bit of a hassle.
Okay. You know, I just want to ask you one more question about college, and then we're going to continue on this thread, because this is really important and powerful. But we want to know what you're taking off in a month. What are you studying? What are you, you know?
Yeah, I'm off to PNCA in Portland. It's a small arts college. I'm actually picked the college because I'm going to major in illustration, mm-hmm. and not a huge amount of art colleges have illustration majors. So that's why I picked it in particular. And then I'm doing creative writing as a minor too. And it was important for me to find somewhere I could do both of those things because I love both writing and art.
Did you get that from your mama?
Both my mom and my dad probably were. I'm kind of in an artistic family, probably.
Mm, that sounds lovely.
Wow. Okay.
And you kind of went by really fast the name of the college. Did you say PNCA?
Yeah, Pacific Northwest College of Art, PNCA.
Oh, the whole college is an art school?
Yeah.
Wow. And did I hear through a little birdie tell me that you got a scholarship?
I did, actually. I never applied for it, and I didn't even really realize that there were scholarships like that available. And then in the letter when I got accepted, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you got this scholarship. And I was like, oh, okay, great.
Wow. I've never heard of someone who didn't ever apply for a scholarship getting in a scholarship. Did your teacher sign you up or something? Ah, Mama. Mama, let us know what happened.
Maybe I was more behind the scenes, but they have a series of merit-based, based on the portfolio that you submit. They have certain merit-based scholarships that they can provide because it is a private art school, so it's pretty expensive. And to support people to be able to go, they have a certain amount of scholarship money. So my understanding is that the one that Luca was awarded, that he was automatically entered for, was based on the submission, on the strength of his portfolio and his submission.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really cool.
That means you're pretty good.
I like to think so, hopefully.
He's good.
So I have another clarifying question to ask you. You said there's not many art schools that major in illustration, so I'm like, don't really know that much about art. Just, I know I love art, but I don't know much about it. And so I'm curious, how is illustration different than another art school? Why don't most art schools have illustration majors? Can you explain that a little bit?
I think it's mostly, I guess, due to popularity of just the major in general. I think it's changing as the industries change, but at least for the most part, most people go to art colleges to study fine art, like traditional painting and figure drawing and things like that. And then animation's another huge thing. Mm. But both of those aren't quite what illustration is. Illustration is more about the storytelling behind art, and it's usually more stylized. And so it doesn't quite fit into animation or fine art. And so it's emerging as its own, like, new thing. Mm. And so I guess colleges are slowly making that a major in theirs. Mm. But at the moment, there were only a few that I checked.
Mm. Interesting. And so what are your aspirations once you leave college? What do you see yourself doing?
I'm known to get pretty, like, kind of lock onto something and want to do that and nonstop. So for many years now, I really want to be like a concept artist. And it's where in like games or movies, it's not quite like storyboarding. It's where you do like a full piece, whether it's setting design or a character or costume design or just aspects of the film. And it's usually, they could stand alone as their own pieces. Mm. And I'm really passionate about that because I look at a lot of concept art from games and movies I enjoy, and I've always been like inspired by that.
Oh, wow. What's one of your inspirations?
I wish I remembered the name of the artist. It was so long ago, but Big Hero 6, actually, there was someone released all of the art for that, for the planning of that, and there was these like beautiful, detailed, intricate pieces of just the characters in the hometown and all this extra setting, and some of which didn't even get used ever, but it was just to kind of set the scene of the story for everyone else to work with, and I was like, oh, wow, I would love to do that.
Oh, wow.
Good job. Mm. Good job, talented person. And so we will learn more about those talents later on. So let's. I want to hear Mom's voice for a moment. I'm looking at Luca, and I'm looking at you, Amanda, and I'm just want to know, just check in, how are you feeling right now? Because your confident son is like very expressive, and it's just there's a confidence that I feel. So how are you? Check in.
Yeah, pretty proud.
They laugh.
The boy's done good. I'm very excited for him. I'm really excited. I think Luca's chomping at the bit to go to college. He's ready. He's been ready for a couple of years. I've been joking all summer that he's actually already in Portland and he's kind of left a hologram behind, you know. And I feel like a lot of things have been able to conspire with a lot of hard work and planning and envisioning and manifesting and, you know, prayer and many different aspects. But everything's conspired to really support Luca to follow his passion. And that makes me very happy. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for him.
Mm, yeah. Beautiful.
I want to go too.
No. Yeah. This is your freedom, right, Luca?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
No, I just want to go to PNCA. The school is amazing. It's like, why didn't I get to do this? No, it's really cool. I think it's going to be a perfect fit too. I think Portland and this particular school is tiny. It's one building in downtown Portland. It's like 500 kids, 700?
Like 800.
Oh, okay.
And it's not like a campus. It's just one building.
Neato.
So it's like a big family.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what I like to do? I like to start from the beginning, when it all started for the both of you. That sounds like a good direction. So when did you know, Luca, when did you know when you were growing up that you were a boy?
So it's an interesting question because I've been asked it a few times by various people, and it's an interesting answer. I feel like I knew at certain ages, but depending on the environment, I wasn't quite sure what exactly it was I was feeling. So I know when I was younger, I never particularly fit in with like the kind of girls' groups or the interests of a lot of girls, and I kept them as friends because that's the, you know, the societal thing is, oh, well, you're a girl, so you're going to have all friends who are girls and you're going to hang out in that kind of thing. And so I kind of followed along, but I never felt 100% in that kind of environment. I was just kind of doing it because that's what I was supposed to do. And especially in high school, when it all became all about like looking pretty for the boys and wearing makeup and tight skirts and small. And I was like, actually, I'd love to just wear kind of like baggy trousers and like a nice button-up shirt. And then I did at one point catch on to the term transgender, and I don't know how, actually. I don't remember how. I just remember it coming into my field of view at one point. And when I thought, oh, that sounds a lot like me, and I brought it up, at the time I had a specialist who I was working with for actually my Asperger's, and she was saying, oh, no, that's a kind of common side effect type thing of Asperger's, that you tend to feel more masculine, and I don't think you're trans. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind then. Guess that was just me making that up. And then when I came to America and I met a couple trans kids actually at Santa Rosa High School, I was like, no, this definitely still feels like something that's true for me. And actually, I feel it even stronger now. And so that's when I really stepped into it and really started identifying as male. But I knew something was kind of like off before that.
Mm-hmm. So you said two things. You mentioned Asperger's and what was the other thing?
America.
Yeah, and coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, could you speak about the Asperger's and how that connects? Maybe Amanda, you want to speak to that?
Sure.
Yeah, you're good at defining it. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but...
Because there's some study out, right? You're telling me about some...
Yeah, they've found that there's some intersectionality between what they now in the U.S. call the high end of the autistic spectrum, the ASD, autistic spectrum disorder. Everywhere else in the world, it's still called Asperger's. So, and it's, as far as they understand it, a very high-functioning form of autism. And we're all... My understanding is also they found we're all somewhere on that spectrum. It's really just whether it interferes with your daily life and social connections and things like that. They have found that people who have gender identity, I don't want to call them issues, just gender identity questions, there's a reasonable percentage that also are somewhere on the autistic spectrum. At the higher end. And yeah, Luca, well, we were in Scotland. His dad is Scottish. Luca was born in Scotland. And the specialist he was working with was a specialist in autistic spectrum disorders, particularly the ones that don't show up very easily, aren't very visible. And so I think that's where, in the same 6 months period, she had worked with Luca for about 6 months and called me in and said, have you considered the possibility that your child is on the spectrum? And I said, no, I absolutely didn't. I had no idea. And she encouraged me to really look into that because it can be very subtle and easily missed, very easily misdiagnosed. It's mostly misdiagnosed.
Yeah, and I took a test. Well, I took like an official... Well, yeah, I guess test. I wouldn't call it an exam.
No, it was a panel of four experts for half a day. It's a pretty intensive, big process to really determine whether they're going to give you a diagnosis officially or not. And it's intersectional in the sense that it also causes, it can usually causes a lot of social anxiety. And difficulty in really reading subtle cues among peers, which, of course, when you're a teen is sort of a nightmare anyway. So I think those two, we found out about both the Asperger's and then Luca coming out to us as trans, his dad and I all in the space of, I don't know, about 3 months. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a mom and a dad to swallow. How was that for you, Amanda?
It was pretty wild. I know we're on a show, so no swearing. But, I did have a moment of, oh, please, hold on a second. Let me wrap my head around this thing first before I put my attention on that. Like, it was quite a lot to handle. And I guess it's fair to say I got on board faster. I'm a major researcher. I'm a research queen, and I really I'm very hungry for knowledge and education. So I probably got on board and came around to these things maybe faster than Luca's dad took longer. We were separated already. And he has come around. It just took a lot longer. And I did an awful lot of studying. I just really dove really deeply into the Asperger's first to really understand that. And I did sort of ask Luca to wait while we navigated the trans part. And
how old were you at this time again?
Was I about 13, I think, 13 or 14?
You had just turned 14 when we were still in Scotland and you came out to your dad and I. I do remember I used to go to a women's group in Glasgow, really lovely women's group. And I remember I used to bring Luca when he was about 12. And you seemed to enjoy them. But in particular, one group, there was a trans young woman, I believe, who was there with her mother, and they were talking about their struggles or challenges they were having, just navigating that together. And the mom was really wanting to be supportive, and the young woman was probably in her late teens, probably the age Luca is now. And I remember you being absolutely kind of locked in on this person. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm curious about you saying, put the brakes on to Luca when you're like, let's deal with this and then deal with that. I'm just curious, how did that come about? I mean, how did that end up? I mean, were you able to, like, put the brakes on Luca or what?
Well, I wasn't entirely sure what it was I was feeling, so I didn't, I guess, consider it very important. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't really even know what's going on, so I'm not going to push any agenda kind of thing. And so I shelved it for a bit, and it wasn't that big a deal at that particular time because I wasn't really sure what I was shelving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious because to have that information not thrown at you but given to you, it's like, wow. Oh, okay, this is what I've been feeling. And, like, I thought you would just make it, you know, beeline to, you know, becoming. So that wasn't the case.
No, I made more of a beeline in my own, like, personal research of it, in my own personal, like, looking around. Like, I definitely dove into, like, the community and tried to, like, see what it was about so I could understand more what I was feeling. But in terms of, like, outward expression and actually living in that, that wasn't something I really stepped into yet. Mm-hmm.
It also, I guess I remember you saying back in Scotland it wasn't that receptive an environment. And
no, yeah, it was not the place
feel very
to do
safe.
That.
Okay, yeah, that's it's not safe. You don't want to, go there.
Some kids don't want to tell their parents because they don't feel safe. And I don't get that from you, Luca. You felt safe telling your parents.
Yeah, I feel like they've always been really supportive of almost everything I've done. And, like, since I was insanely young, they've just wanted me to thrive and do well. And so I trusted them with that and my process through that because I didn't think it would be any different for that. I mean, I was still definitely scared. Like, I remember being insanely, insanely scared to even mention the word trans. But I still was expecting a reasonably positive outcome. I trusted them 10 times more than I trusted probably, like, my peers or my friends at the time.
Wow, that's a beautiful statement. We don't hear much of that.
How does that make you feel, Amanda?
Glad. I think, I remember saying to, I mean, I remember wanting to really reassure and comfort Luca when he came out to us and basically say, okay, I'm listening. Like, it was before, certainly where we were in Scotland, I hadn't had any awareness of the trans community, and it wasn't, there were no movie, you know, it's very headline now in a lot of the mainstream in movies here in the US and programs and, you know, National Geographic special editions. And at that time, I hadn't had any exposure at all. So I had no understanding or education or information available. And so the best I could do was, you know, I love you and I'm listening. Let's walk this together step by step and just, you know, give me time to adjust, to understand, to try and see how I can meet you, and then let's go from there, was kind of what I tried to do. Mm-hmm. So
Well, hats off to you. Yeah. I mean, such a tribute, I think, to your parenting, mm-hmm. for your son to feel safe to tell you, you know, his most guarded secret, you know, that he, I don't know, you don't tell everyone, or do you, how are you in the world?
Well, now it's entirely different. I'd probably say I'm extremely open about both being trans and gay. In fact, I ran, I was the president for 2 years and the VP for one of my school's GSA. Mm. So I was kind of the head of that in my school, I'd kind of like to say. And I do, as I said, I'm kind of involved in some activism, and so I'm always very vocal about, like, trans issues and LGBT issues in general now. And I don't particularly hide my identity. Like, a part of going to college and being on the road to transition, it's nice that sometimes I'm not immediately perceived as trans. Like, just a part of that's kind of nice, I don't know. But I wouldn't say I would be hiding it.
Okay, so here we go. So 15. So you come out 15. That's the
14.
14. Mm-hmm. So that's when, so what happens at 14?
I don't want to
catch you up. We got 4 years here. You were 18, right?
Yeah.
So we want to know what's going on in there for you and mom and dad.
Yeah, I think my dad was having a harder time, as my mom said. I think just because he had more of a attachment to the my little girl kind of thing, my little kind of princess and fairy and whatever, and he had actually, I think, had more interaction with LGBT people in London. He said before, when I talked to him about it, that he had some interactions with that, but he still didn't necessarily understand the community a huge amount. He just had knew a little about it, and he ended up coming around more when I gave him some resources to look at and some things to read, and my mom gave me some things to pass on to him that she'd found, and after he kind of looked into it a little more and understood it more, he was more on board. I think for the most part he was just worried about my safety, because I think a lot of the trans people he came into contact with there was a lot of trans violence and there was a lot of discrimination, and he was just really worried that I would be choosing a difficult path in life. And I mean, it certainly isn't easy, but I think he's understanding now that it's better than what he thought. He kind of feared the worst.
Mm-hmm. So this is a good time for a music break. I mean, I want to know more, but we do need to take a break. Mm-hmm. So Luca, you brought a song with you tonight. Would you introduce it to our listening audience?
Yeah, it's You and I by Colony House, and I chose it specifically just because I really love part of the message where it's kind of you and me against the world and against all the kind of crazy stuff that's happening, especially at times right now. I feel like that's a really good song.
Well, thank you. Let's take a listen.
True. paper, they're defined, all the lines that we draw. But we don't understand what's unstable. Maybe we're all lonely and afraid. Maybe we're all trying to find the words to say, to find the words to say.
Welcome back. That was You and I by Colony House. Thank you very much for bringing that song, Luca. So we're going to get right back into our questions. Diana has a couple questions for you.
Well, we can start with the one about, because I'm always trying to get into that 14 to 18 range of what, you know, what sequence, what were the sequences that happened. So when you started to, like, transition from wearing girls, whatever, attire to boy stuff. So when did that happen? Tell us about that.
It was a pretty fast change, actually. From the moment we arrived, we arrived specifically so I could start freshman year of high school here, so in the summer. And only a few months into school, I guess, after meeting a few of the trans people that I met and after seeing the environment and that it was accepting, I was like, oh, perfect. I can kind of just explode into expression. And by my birthday, I cut all my hair off. I had really, really long hair below the chest, and I chopped all of it off immediately. And it was a very sharp turn from I just stopped wearing all dresses and all feminine stuff, apart from, as my mom said, like earrings and other stuff that I was like, no, I can still wear this. And it was an interesting shock for my classmates because I came back from a weekend with suddenly 90% less hair. And since the cutting of the hair was pretty much the major starting point, and since then I just kind of amped up more and more and more through my transition and more into stepping into that role comfortably.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you get the deep voice?
That's an interesting journey we went on, is I fought really, really hard to go on testosterone. I've been on it for about a year and a bit now, I think, if I've got that correct. But that was a discussion me and my mom actually had at length about whether it was a good idea to start it before I was 18 and the effects of hormones while you're trying to basically kind of grow up and your body's trying to do its thing. And I really, really made a heavy case for before 18 because I really wanted to enter college with the kind of a deep voice and my body the way I wanted it to be. And yeah, I started on, oh man, which birthday was it?
It kept being the solstice. Two solstices ago, around the solstice, you began hormone treatment.
Yeah, near
and
my
then
birthday.
This solstice, you had top surgery. So, yeah.
So go ahead. Continue that top surgery. You're going to throw that out there.
Oh,
and then
well,
don't say
yeah. I guess I can remember the timeline was you cut your hair around your, I guess that would have been your 15th birthday, and then you chose the name Luca, and then you started asking to be, for us and other people to use male pronouns. So those were the big sort of fast changes. Mm-hmm. And then
by my next birthday, I pretty much petitioned for hormones.
Yeah, and then we spent, well, it was probably actually 2 years. I'm sort of forgetting now, but we spent a couple of years in conversation where Luca's anxiety levels were still very, very high, I mean, unsustainably high. And there were a number of factors where, because he was under 18, he needed parental consent. And I did, again, put the... I asked him to wait. I asked him, please wait. Please, let's navigate this. And I asked him to work with a therapist, which he did. And I guess, rightly or wrongly, I needed to arrive at a place in myself as his mother where I felt I could back what he was doing 100%. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I had a fear at the time that I had to overcome that we would make the wrong choice, that this was mainly irreversible. A lot of the changes are irreversible. And so it became, particularly as a mainly single mother, it became basically my decision to make the call on whether this was the right thing to support him to do or not. And I had a very long journey I had to go through. Is it a phase? Is he going to change his mind? Is he going to turn around when he's 35 and say, what on earth did you do? Why did you let me do that? Mm-hmm. It was a very emotional and big journey that I needed to navigate, which I did, whilst also supporting Luca to bring his anxiety down and arrive at a place where he was absolutely 1,000% crystal clear. And that took us, between us, mainly me, but it took us a while.
Yeah, I mean, I was clear and persistent, kind of, and a super constant, but I knew you needed longer to kind of get on that path.
You were. I would say I do believe we did the right thing in eventually working with a psychiatrist for a very small, low dose of SSRI, antidepressant medication. I had tried, I'm alternative everything. And so I had tried lots of alternative approaches to support Luca that was not, drug-based. And it wasn't working. And his therapist eventually at the time said to me, we can't really do the work without bringing his anxiety down to a manageable level, because he doesn't have a level playing field. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't. And so I finally said, okay, and we found a very good one in Mill Valley. We were very lucky. He specializes in teens. He's well-versed in working with youth who are both on the spectrum and transgender. Mm-hmm. So we found the right person eventually. A lot of research on my part, and he's been brilliant, and that really did help you arrive at a place where your anxiety, you were more ready overall in a holistic sense, I would say.
Yeah.
But that could be a justification. Yeah. I don't know.
So the anxiety was the problem? I mean, your turmoil that was around your anxiety? And what would you label that anxiety? What caused the anxiety?
I mean, pretty bluntly, I'd say that the school I went to, the high school I went to in Scotland, I mean, it's technically high school there as well, but I, the environment, as I said, wasn't the most accommodating, and I kind of had a lot of, bullying and a lot of just experiences that I feel really, really racked up my anxiety and really racked up my kind of fear of interaction and play. Like, it...
What? Go ahead.
It drove me almost pretty much to suicide at one point. It was a really, really intense negative experience. And I've pretty much only now, 4 years later, since then, finally gotten the residue from all that negative stuff out of my system and finally out of my emotional, well-being. And when I first came here, it was still very raw. And I feel like the medication is, and a lot of the work I've done and a lot of the stuff we've done to help has really helped me get a more even playing field. And that was, I feel like, yeah, a good choice before starting testosterone to just have my system calm down a little.
Mm-hmm. That's great that, I mean, you you know, we talked earlier about trusting your mom and coming out to her, but you really trusted her in her request that you wait. You trusted her, and you just said it was good for you to get more level before you started your hormone therapy.
Yeah, like I mean, yeah, part of me
still fought me.
Part of me, yeah, part of me still, I think a part of me thought that maybe especially before I went on the medication, that the hormones would maybe help fix some of the anxiety, and so I pushed very hard, and when I started to realize that that wouldn't help, that wasn't what would help the anxiety, it was a different type of work, and that's mm-hmm. when I was more understanding of, like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just say I appreciate your vulnerability, you know, to say those hard things, especially around suicide, and we know that that's prevalent, and it happens. Yeah. So I just wanted to speak to just recently, and I've been hearing about young people coming out, transitioning, especially one kid is a female transitioning to male, and because that's current. I mean, it's right in my life right now that's happening, and so you said, Luca, about being an activist. And around these different issues. I'm just curious if you can speak to that part of your life because of where you, your journey, where you came from. Because other kids are going to be listening. Other trans people are going to be listening to this interview. And so I just, whatever information you can give would be very valuable. So again, I want to appreciate your vulnerability.
Yeah. I mean, I started... I didn't even consider it activism at the time. I usually just started living what I feel like authentically and truly for me, and that even just that helped some other people who were unsure of what they wanted to do with their expression and how their identity was. And I've had quite a few people say, oh, even just you being here and talking about it and not kind of hiding it has helped me. And since I heard that, I wanted to make more of an effort to help other trans people. And I'm just very vocal about, especially within the trans community, supporting each other and not being divisive, just being inclusive and supporting all the different parts of the spectrum and expression. And I do my best to share information and support for those. I remember seeing the statistic for suicide amongst trans people, and it extremely, like... it hurt me and it shocked me, and I wanted to do something about that any way I could. And so I just almost every day make sure I can put a positive impact into the community to help some way with that.
Mm. Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. Really. You're so courageous. I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Was part of your research when you were looking for new schools or colleges to attend, was part of that research how safe it would be for you to be a trans man?
Yeah, definitely for college. There were actually quite a few art colleges that I might have gone to, but they were in a state where there was maybe trans exclusionary laws or known a lot of hate crime or things like that. And I made the decision that it was probably not the best idea. And it definitely had to be a factor in what I was doing. I couldn't just kind of go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky that Portland's a super inclusive place. And in fact, many of my fellow freshman students are trans, as I've already found out, which is really nice.
Well, how did you find out?
They made a Facebook page for the incoming freshmen for us to connect, and my current roommate that I'll be rooming with is a trans man as well.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of other people who, when realizing I was trans, was like, oh, I'm trans too, and we've all actually kind of ended up talking, and definitely think I chose the right place to go.
So terrific. I mean... gone are the days of going to a new school and not knowing anyone and looking afraid and being afraid. And even if you fit into the norms, it's such a scary time. And now Facebook is really helping ease that. So you have a community already built in.
Yeah, I have like a pre-group to kind of slide into.
That's so fantastic. No wonder you're excited, not only about the art, but the friends you're going to make, you know?
How happy are you now, Luca?
Extremely, extremely happy and extremely excited. Most people don't want the summer to end, and I'm actually kind of sitting with a stopwatch, like, ready to go to school and to start.
Wow, cool. So I think it's time for advice giving or sharing some wisdom to our audience and to, you know, maybe trans people or parents, Amanda, whomever, some curious listeners out there who might need some education or some advice, some wisdom. So who would like to share? Who would like to start?
You do? Sure.
Yeah, I had one thing, particularly about being both trans and gay, actually, is something I found, and it's a very interesting community experience, because a lot of what I've seen, especially through the whole dating app culture and a lot of that more current stuff, is that there's a lot of focus on body parts, and if you maybe lack certain body parts, then it's a little an interesting and different experience to things, and even just inclusivity in a lot of those apps is interesting, where they've started to add new gender options that you can put in and things like that. And I would, advice-wise, I would stay, like, you have to have a little more caution as a trans person, especially within the male dating community, just because that it can be a little dangerous sometimes. And I feel like I just would encourage caution and not to be scared and not to kind of not put yourself out there, but just that it's an interesting terrain. And I actually have some friends who are also trans men and gay who and end up accidentally in situations that are less than ideal. And it's just an interesting dance.
So safety. Mm-hmm. Highlighted. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe discernment is, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a word you'd use. Maybe not. But I guess for parents, I know we don't have a lot of time left. I would say to any degree possible, don't do it alone. Mm. To any degree, don't isolate and don't do it alone, because it's really hard. And part of the journey can feel like people really don't get it. A lot of people don't get it. It's not their reality. And to whatever degree possible, get support. Work with a therapist if you can. Have your child work with a therapist if you can, if that feels like the right thing. Go online, find resources. You know, education and information is your friend. And I think hold on to the fact that there are lots of trans people who can also be healthy, happy, and thriving, and to really believe that for your children and yourself, that it's not just a horror story, it's a wonderful story, and about being truly ourselves and fully authentic in our lives. And I just want to encourage parents to remember that wherever they are in the journey with their kids.
Mm-hmm. We want to thank you both, Luca and Amanda. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Remember, like Amanda and Luca, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month.
Good night.
What happened? I told you that you could get peace of mind in just 20 minutes, and it's free. If you've ever wondered if you contracted HIV and aren't sure, you can get tested for free, confidentially, and anonymously with results in just 20 minutes. Call face-to-face at 544-1581 or visit f2f.org. Face-to-face, ending AIDS in Sonoma County, 20 minutes at a time.
Hi, this is Outbeat Radio host Greg Moralia. If you love home-baked fresh scones as much as I do, you won't want to miss this opportunity to learn how to make these little delicacies yourself. Join me for a hands-on cooking class and learn the secrets of the perfect scone. This is a fundraiser for Outbeat Radio here on KRCB and happens on Saturday, October 27th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Napa Valley Cooking School in St. Helena. The cost is $50 and includes lunch. You can learn more at NapaValleyCookingSchool.com.
Searchlights we can see in the dark. We are rockets pointed up at the stars. We are billions of beautiful hearts. And you sold us down the river too far. What about us? What about all the times you said you had the answers? What about us? What about all the broken happy ever afters? What about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster?
that want to be sold. We are children that need to be loved. We were willing, we came when you called. But man, you fooled us. Enough is enough. How? What about?
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Soma Concerts, presenting The Ultimate Party, featuring an all-star tribute band lineup starring Tainted Love, Super Diamond, Petty Theft, and Foreverland, live at Sonoma Village in Rohnert Park on Saturday, September 8th at 4 p.m. Tickets and information are available at somaconcerts.com. You're listening to Radio 91, 91.1 KRCB-FM Windsor, and 90.9 K215 CQ Santa Rosa. It is 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.